title of the message the Lord put upon my heart for today is called Setting the Example for Tomorrow's Leaders. Setting the Example for Tomorrow's Leaders. What is the lead for? Did you just think about a leader? What is the lead for? If somebody's leading something, what is the lead for? Just throw it out there. What's the lead for?
Huh? Show the way.
Okay. And the show the way is not just to a destination, but it's to show
the purpose of something.
Yeah, it's everything about what that way will involve. The way to approach the way, your attitude as you're going in the way. You really want to watch that every aspect of the leader. A lot of people don't think about that when they're following a leader. They just, as the Bible says, the blind lead the blind and they all fall in a ditch. Some people blindly follow, and then they fall in a ditch. But a leader, which is what he told me to call this ministry, because he said he was on a global search. A leader is one that sets an example for others to follow. Sometimes people say, I'm not a leader. Everybody leads in some way. Ever been going on a freeway? You might be leading the way that others are following you on the freeway. You know, sometimes people don't lead in front of you very well, right, Rich? And they don't step on their brake soon enough. So they're not leading by a good example. It's never ending. Some people have more of a leadership impact than others. But we all are leading in some level of life. We live in a day, especially in California, we see this, where TV stars, sports stars are the leaders of many. But the Lord spoke to me several years ago, and he gave me a vision of Sunset Boulevard. I guess that's where it is, because I've never been there. Where all the stars are?
Hollywood Boulevard.
See, I've never been wherever that is to see him. But that's okay. He took me there in the spirit. And he showed me a star being put down. And the star was Jesus. He said, I'm going to make my name famous in this state. How many of you want to be a part of Jesus making his name famous? His name. His name isn't just a word. It's everything about who he is famous. See, people that we see a lot of times in the stars in that industry is just a person's name. Their T-I-N-A, you know, Tina. But not necessarily everything about who they are. Now, any star but Jesus is a fallen star. When you think of stars, they're all bright, aren't they? They're all bright. But unless you really can see maybe through a telescope very clearly, they may be falling from their high place. And really, unless we really do look at people's lives through a microscope, let me tell you, a true leader is under a microscope 24 hours a day, a true leader. And unless we really look closely, we may have to really watch what we're following or who we're following. A leader has to take command of their lead. And therefore, it can be lonely as a leader around people. But a true leader after the heart of God is following the commander in chief. So it doesn't matter if man thinks it's a lot, you know, they're some special thing. A leader is responsible for making successful decisions because people's lives depend on it. I know that your eternal lives depend on me knowing the word correctly. But you go into the workplace and people are depending on people to make successful decisions for others to follow. Whether it's a city, whether it's a business, and true leadership always has to be positive. A true leader after the heart of God has to be positive. I'm not talking fake. They really have to have a deep assurance on the inside of them of what they're doing. And especially if they're leading others, because many times people become hopeless. And it's up to the leader to hold that standard of hope for all those around them. I see that a lot of times when I go into family settings and they're dealing with dire situations. They're like sheep without a shepherd many times, and they need somebody to hold the standard high on what can they really expect from God as they walk through this situation. Godly leaders are looked to for right and wrong examples. What's the right? What's the wrong? What's the right way to do this, Debbie, in the business world? What's the wrong way? They're looking. You know, we were made to follow. We were created to follow. And so if we don't have the right people to follow as examples, as we see throughout scriptures, you will not see anybody that was successful in the book that did not have somebody that they could have an example to follow. The only reason Jesus had to come to earth was he had to set an example. They had examples under the old covenant. Well, they needed an example under the new covenant. And so he had to learn it, and then he had to live it. And leadership is situational. Have you ever noticed that? It's whatever the situation arises, you have to rise up to the situation and how you're going to deal with it. You know, all of us right here, sitting here, will be another year older each year. We're never going to be constant in the same place. Throughout eternity, you're going to be maturing eternally. Or you can stay stagnant, but it's going to be eternal. Leaders must never tolerate vain, temperamental people who expect privileged treatment. A true leader is not that way, a true leader. They're not temperamental. They don't have to have everything go their way. You know, just John and I in the leading of this car, everything didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go. But at least I was open to my leader to find the way. And leadership is based on a consistent yardstick. You know, a yardstick you can measure, right? From the revelation of God's word. Now, I was looking up some things about leaders, and I thought it was interesting because I had a phone call today about this one very company. that I'm going to mention. Because I'm going to talk about some things in regards to leadership in business, but also leadership as a believer, whether it's ministry or just as a Christian. So I looked up some things from successful business people and some things they had to say. The first one that I looked up was from Xerox. And this woman, Ursula Burns, from Xerox, said this was the one thing she had to say about leadership. I asked her what was one successful thing she could share. And she said, to start at the bottom, when you start at the bottom in the business world, it gives you a view of how everything works. You know, some people in the business world, they get a degree and then they hire them right in, but they have absolutely no understanding of how everything works. Years ago when I had a dream about this ministry and I was down below the bridge that I talked about and I met what I know now as Miriam Hellman, she was sharing with me in this dream the mechanics of how to get to the other side. She was actually using mechanical terms in regards to my vehicle, and a lot of it was like going over my head. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the mechanics of what that mechanics was all about a little bit later. One of the other leaders that I looked up was Vinton Cerf, VP and Chief of Internet, they call him the Internet Evangelist of Google. And he said, constantly networking and collaborating, you're likely to have more projects on the horizon and new people to work with. See, some people get into the business world and they think they should just kind of stay alone and aloof, but actually the networking, what happens, and it is just true, when you get the body together, you have so many more thoughts that God can work together, bring a thought from different people to come up with brilliant ways to do things. I mean, even the natural world understands that. Then I had five people. The third one was Steve Jobs of Apple, which we know. He says, if you're not passionate, this, I just was impressed to say this because I believe some of you here need to really think about what he said. If you're not passionate about what you do, you might want to consider something else. If you're not passionate about what you're doing, then I suspect there's something missing there with the Lord. Just to do something just because maybe you've done it before doesn't mean you have passion. Because passion in a person, you have to almost hold them back from doing what they love to do. Number four was Bill Gates of Microsoft. He said, no matter what industry you're in, people matter the most. And it's true. In all the years that I've worked with people and been in leadership, it is about people. You're dealing with human beings. Some people, the world, yeah, and even though some of these people may not even know Christ, some of them have gotten it. But some people just think that people are just not, it's a numbers game. I used to hear that in one of my early years of sales, just a numbers game. But, you know, if you just look at people as just a numbers game, you could miss someone that could be a rising star for what you're doing. And the last was one of my dear mentors, Mary Kay herself. She used to tell us, when you set your goal, shoot for the moon. If you miss it, land on a star. But find a way or make a way to attain it. She never said do sin, but she used to say you've got to find the way or make the way. And she proved it with her own life, because the day she started her company, a month before to the day her husband died of a heart attack, she had everything against her starting out with all that wonderful support. not just emotional support, but financial support, because her children cashed in their savings to give to her to help her start this company. And it's good to know how other people have done what they've done. You don't usually hear them whine about it. They just did what they had to do to make it happen. We hear the term a lot, mentor. And it's a great word, but it does have a Greek origin. And though we don't see the word mentor in the scriptures, it's all throughout the scriptures, which we're going to see today. Joshua was mentored by Moses. Elisha was mentored by Elijah. Timothy was mentored by Paul. And the list goes on and on. None of them, I want you to hear me, when all these little pairs of people, none of them had the exact same call, because nobody does. Just like we all have our own individual fingerprints, no two people have the exact same call. But there was something similar that they had with the help of the Holy Spirit, that they were called to raise up the next generation. Now, there are natural mentors and there's spiritual mentors. And then there's natural and spiritual mentors. Because of my background, I function in both. Because I have experience in both. If you don't have experience in both, you can't mentor. You just can't. And natural mentors are there to assist with natural jobs. How many of you have been watching the Olympics? Some of you are watching them? One thing that you notice in the Olympics is you see the mentor there before they go out, readying them, even on one of the bobsled or the luge, one of them, whether they were riding on their front side or on their back side. I remember watching this one, and I catch things. I catch things from experts. I've always collected experts because they've learned it through trial and error. They've learned how to do things right. But on this one, when the woman, I think it was a woman getting ready to run, the mentor was behind her, running behind her like a force to help her thrust herself out. What were they doing? Now I'll pull back the curtain in the realm of the spirit. It was the spirit of that person helping to thrust them forth. Just like many times you'll see throughout the scriptures, before they were thrust off into another country, they came together and the Holy Spirit would have them come together and they laid hands, and what did they do? They helped thrust them forth in the spirit. But you know what else? They're always there at the finish line too. No matter what happened at the finish line, they were there to get them back in focus. If they didn't do everything just the way that they were taught to do it, right? Or they were there to rejoice with them. There's nothing more lonely than going through life by yourself. You know, Mary Kay, well, she was a mentor of mine, but Miriam as well. A lot of similarities to both of these women. Is a wonderful mentor. And she has said something that many of us think about, and that's everybody needs the Holy Spirit and a good friend. The good friend is someone that you can just kind of talk something out with. Maybe you're going through or walking through a situation, need to make a decision, and you just need someone to kind of talk it out with that has a good thinking process. You get the wrong people you talk about some things with, and they'll just dig you a ditch for you to fall in. So you want to talk to people that know that you can get through it. When I was speaking with my friend in Alaska today, and she was telling me of a situation she was going through, I said, why have you not connected with me? If you say I am your whatever, and you're dealing with this lockup with your finances, why have you not contacted me? I said, I excel in getting through telephone connections. My faith is very strong in getting to the bottom of things when you have to with insurance or whatever. Because all this money is locked up because a system broke down. And I just, as I was able to share, I was able to give her insight in how to pray about it. How to look at it. It's always more than we can imagine. Shared my story about grace when I couldn't figure out something on the internet. And the Lord said, when are you going to invite me into this part of your life, Lisa? I said, okay, go before me, Lord. I need grace. And then I get a phone, I call the information, and the woman that answered said, my name's Grace, may I help you? And I said, yeah, I love your name! You know, instantly we were like friends. Because, you know, normally you're really professional and yes, but I... But see, God knew exactly how to set me up to release whatever was blocking the answer. That's why you always want him to go before you, is he removes all the blocks. Now, a mentor, see, many of you here are leaders in an active lead role, and some of you are rising leaders. I know that. But a mentor, so I'm going to share with you what a mentor's role is. If you're a parent, you're a mentor. Grandparent, you're a mentor. But a mentor is, number one, they learn from others. They don't just teach others. They learn from others. Why? They always want to, like in my dream, they want to know the mechanics of it all. That's why it's awesome to be with good leaders and talk some things out, because we learn from each other. The second part of a mentor is they are committed to be there. What does that mean? They're committed to be there. What does that mean?
Available.
Anytime, day or night. You can find them, they'll be there. Number three, they listen intently, even when the person they're mentoring is venting. They listen intently. What are they listening for? When you're mentoring, you're listening to what the person is really saying. A good leader is a great listener. They're actively listening all the time. That's why I tell people, yeah, you're hearing me preach, my mouth is moving now. But people that are around me know I don't yap all the time. Because a mentor is always wanting to excel themselves, so they're always in a learning mode as well as a giving mode. Number four, a mentor builds their network of leaders around them. Just like I say, I collect experts. Why do I collect experts? I do not have the time to be an expert at everything. But life, because it's full of everything, we need wisdom. You know, I'm being used powerfully with this military outreach, but I'm telling you, I'm collecting all along. Okay, Rich, what does that title mean? What is it they do? I'm collecting information all along the way. They used to tell us in my early years in business, school's never out for the pro. It's never out for the pro. When you look at, even in the Olympics, the things that they go further and higher, how did they do this? We're still the same creation that God created, but they're learning so much more about how fearfully and wonderfully that we're made. Now, the next one is very important if you're mentoring somebody, whether you're in the nursing field, whether it's grandchildren, whatever. Be patient. As mentoring is long-term. Whether it's spiritual or natural, it's long-term. And last, live the life you preach. You know, make the corrections that you need to make yourself. You'll have a lot more confidence in hearing from God when you're doing everything correctly. Then if you know you're outside, a lot of times I'll hear leaders say, yeah, I do that too. As if that's a great witness. No. We want to continually grow and excel. That's what I love about watching the Olympics. They have set their face like flint to excel at one thing. Now, the difference between spiritual mentoring and natural mentoring is a spiritual mentor, the unique thing is they're helping to bring about within people a recognition of something that already exists in them. Or something that they need that didn't exist. Have you ever asked Jesus in your heart? What does that mean? So everything about the spiritual mentor is revelation. It's not like I can just teach. It's revelatory. That's why when you come here, you always want to seek the Lord that He will open the eyes of your understanding. It's one of the best prayers you can pray for you, for anybody that you're working with, for your children, for co-workers, that the Lord would open the eyes of their understanding. Because if you look at David with his son Solomon, everything about that mentoring that went on was revelation of the way of wisdom. And what happened with what he put within his son? He was considered the wisest man that ever lived. So you can see if somebody will take the time to help the next generation, they can be wiser than we are. What was the revelation that I got in that dream? When Miriam said, through mechanical terms, how to get to the other side. When I was speaking with somebody recently, they were telling me about a child of theirs that wanted to do something. They said, I don't get it. Why they don't get it? I said, well, do you know how to drive a car? Yeah. Do you always know where you should drive that car? Because just because you know how to do something doesn't mean you know when, where, and why to do something. And wisdom should be highly exalted. It says wisdom is the principal thing. So my last article, the reason I got gold was the Lord said, I want you to ride around in my wisdom. So all those last 14 years were a lot of what he put in me of the wisdom of God. And I took it serious. Of learning the ways of God to do something. What's your way to do this, Lord? It's not always straight and clear written down in the Bible, the way to do some things. It's listening and listening and listening and listening. But as you listen and as you have a history with the Lord, you could begin to learn the ways of the Lord. What he was showing me was how to travel at the speed of light. Through jumping on the beam of faith, how to begin traveling at a higher speed. Learning the way God thinks, helps you to move into things easier and faster. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. I shared some of this a little while ago. It's okay. Sometimes we have to hear it again. Starting with verse 28, it says, "Then Peter began to say unto him," who do you think he was talking to? Just look in your Bible up above. He's talking to Jesus, his mentor, right? "With men it is impossible."
What?
Mark 10, verse 27. Are you there? Mm-hmm. Read that. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. So this thought takes us out of the natural, doesn't it? Now he's talking about eternal life in the previous scriptures. So it's impossible naturally to have eternal life. It is a spiritual thing that happens on the inside of somebody. You can't go to the doctor and say, "Would you please give me a shot of eternal life?" It's just not going to happen. They don't have it. Sorry. Verse 28. "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily or surely I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." That's a whole huge subject. I won't get into everything, but you can always ask me more questions. But the important thing is there is a call on every one of your lives here. And it's going to take 100% of you to fulfill that call. 100%. And if you only give God 90%, you will never fulfill the 100%. He is asking for all. He did all for us. He's asking for all. And some people, as you read throughout the scriptures, had really issues with giving him their all, because they thought they would lose by giving him their all. But he promises us here that if you give him 100%, he will return to you 100% in every area of your life, even your family. And I'll tell you, how many of you, when you first asked Jesus in your life, you probably didn't know this one yet, and I don't remember them telling me this for years, but how many of you wondered if you were going to lose some friends, family, some things when you gave your life to Jesus? Anybody? Because he said, when you do this, it does come with persecutions. What's a persecution make you want to do? The word actually has a picture of to flight. To run. To bolt. The persecution is designed to get you to bolt away from the 100%. That God is asking for. And everybody has their own different 100%. You know, what's 100% to somebody? I don't expect anybody to live my life. They don't have the same call as my life. So, you know, I remember I've talked to people in the workplace. I'll say, "Well, you're at work, so do your work." I'm not asking you to do what I'm doing. Just make sure you take time with the Lord. There's ways you can do it to get it, to have an awareness of him all the time, if you've allowed him to come in. It doesn't mean you're just going to sit and preach all about him. I mean, this sweet little salesman when I was sitting at his desk because I was waiting on my vehicle, and I saw these people saying, hola, hola, a little group, and I said, oh, are you selling them a car? He said, yeah. Well, then I need to leave. He goes, well, I didn't really want to have to tell you to go. I said, are you kidding? You're at work. Let me get out of here. This is job. This is living. We want to be sensitive to that. The hundredfold call. How many of you want that? The hundredfold. 100. You're going to have to be like those Olympians. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're a unique group, aren't they? They're unique. John and I were watching, and they were showing one person and all telling all the things she overcame. And John's like, everybody has something. Everybody has something that they've had to overcome. They're no different except by choices they've made. It's the same with anybody that has a fruitful life in Christ. It's choices they've made. It's no different than somebody that's successful in work. It's choices they made. Because we used to have a saying in the business, for those that say it can't be done are often interrupted by the ones that are doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, for everybody that gives me the sad story that they had a crummy upbringing, you're going to see somebody that had a crummy upbringing but did it. How many people have fled to America from other countries with nothing and they've made something out of their lives? We're all from another nation. So he said, where are you from? I said, oh, I'm European. I finally figured that out. I'm kind of European. There's a whole bunch of countries that our family came from. Turning your Bible to 1 Corinthians 11. Paul was an outstanding mentor. He did suffer a lot of persecution, but I don't mean suffered as far as he didn't whine. But he did walk through some persecution. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Yeah, I thought about this passage a second. God puts every word in there on purpose. Why didn't he say follower of Jesus? I like the Holy Spirit.
Christ.
Why Christ? What does Christ mean?
Anointed one.
The anointed one to do the job. I mean, the anointing that you, each one of you have on you from the Lord is to be able to do what you need to do for the Lord. But also, Paul didn't have the exact same call as Jesus. Did he? He was the only Messiah to be the Savior of the world. Paul wasn't. Paul was called as an apostle. He was called to help bring people into that orderly life and lay down the foundations of Christ. All right? So every one of us are supposed to be followers of whoever God puts in your life as they are of Christ, the anointing. You know, I shared with those testimonies with you, not because you're going to go buy the same car and go to the same place, but because you've got the same Holy Spirit that wants to anoint everything that you do to lead you in every step of the way. And if you're not having that living relationship with him, it can change today by choice. I would rather you be so wet with appetite saying, I want that kind of lifestyle, Lord. You have to be passionate to get it. In Hebrews 13, it says, follow our faith. They believe God. But when they use the word follow in the scriptures, they actually mean to pursue in order to catch it. Have you ever seen a school teacher with a class that she has following? Okay, class, follow me. And some are like this, you know. Some are like, little Johnny, turn around. You know, they're all over the place. Do you ever see that at school?
Yeah.
Sometimes their teachers have to, you know, but that's not what he's saying here. He's saying follow everything about the attitude of the person, everything about them, their way, their stature. Follow them. You watch those Olympians walk in. You watch them with their head up. Right? Proud to represent their company. Are you proud to represent Jesus on this earth? Are you? Are you proud to go into your place of business and bring Jesus into your business? Bring it into the military where he's been banned through the chaplains. So he walks in himself. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he's done. All right, they banned me. I'll just walk in. It's a public place. I'll just walk in on my own. That's why I'm like, whoa, Jesus, when you want to get somebody, you're going to walk in. You know what I found? He is the commander-in-chief of the Army of God and the Army of the United States, and he knows it, and he loves them. You read Miriam's book on the call. I love her little book. So tiny, but so powerful. And all the forefathers of the past, when, oh, I believe I'm to follow you, brother so-and-so. And they said, well, then you got to believe God for your own money to get there. They didn't make it easy. I had to believe God. You have to believe God. Well, I tell you, if we do not pass that on to the next generation, they have to believe God. They have to trust him for whatever it is that they need. Instead of paying the way, and that's what we're seeing in our own country, we're seeing a dumbing down of the faith of the next generation, so they don't have to believe God for anything. They'll look to man, and if man doesn't supply it, then they'll have riots. Right? Instead of start with the belief God for an onion or whatever it is that you need that may seem small, and increase. Because you don't just jump off into the big ones. You have to start by developing your belief in God, that he cares about the tiny things and the large things. And that's why we don't like to see anybody injure their faith by, oh, I'll just believe God for this big thing, and then they don't receive. The reason I'm able to trust God for so many different things and they keep increasing is because I started where I was. Lord, where's my next Mary Kay customer? Go to Stonewood. Okay. Talk to that person. Okay. Oh, I've been looking for some lipstick. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know how simple that was. I'll never forget this one woman. 30 or so years older than I am. And she said, Lisa, how do you do it? Can I go with you sometime? I said, I don't care. I'll never forget it. We're at Stonewood Shopping Center. There's a big potted plant, and she's standing behind the plant watching me. Just watching me talk to people.
I remember that. It wasn't me.
Yeah. I'm not 30 years older than I am. I thought, wow, she had a really good customer base. She was good at servicing, but getting new clients was the challenge. And I said, there's people all over the place. You just have to go be where they are. She realized that any place in this planet, Jesus is willing to show up. He has shown up with me, whether it's in the hospitals, whether it's in bathrooms. Well, now the car dealer, that's a whole new one for me. Now I've seen Jesus show up at a car dealer's and just totally touch the whole place. laying hands on the sick. But that's good. I'll add that to my list of experiential knowledge with the Holy Spirit. Just listening to Him, following Him. Because when you get those experiences with Him, you have the courage to do it again the next time. Right, Debbie? Mm-hmm. And you have the courage to do it again. And the you know what? We took the courage of Mr. Sebastian here saying, well, why don't you just come out once a month and speak to him? I said, Rich, he has just opened the door to the whole military. Let's go to Lakewood. Now let's go to Huntington Beach. And boom, 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 the doors. Patty sees this man and goes, I know you. His kid's going to be Downey High, and that's how he knows who Patty is. I'm like, okay, Lord, you couldn't have orchestrated this any better. All these things are happening. Do you know why? He goes before you. He's already been there. That's why if you try to do this on your own, you try to get those interviews on your own, buddy, you'll never get a job. But if you keep letting the Lord go before you every single day, and you might say, I don't know what that looks like. Well, then hound me until you get it. Because you want to catch these things so that you can step into that flow of understanding of just move here. Just do this. You know, I shared with somebody when the tsunami hit, many family members were killed by one step. They opened the door, they took one step out, and they were swept away, and their other relative in the house was spared. And we met this family that lost 6 relatives from one step. That's how important it is to follow the lead of the Lord. These were Christians. And you know what? It brought to life that scripture that talked about one was here and one was taken. One was here and one was taken. It just brought the scriptures to life to them. How important it is where you let your feet go. And the timing. And not ever shrugging on the inside when it's like, something's not right. Something's not right. Listen on the inside. If something's not right, have a talk with the Lord about it. And if you're having struggles more, then contact someone that you trust. I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't have a confidence if God hadn't brought me the people that I needed to be able to conversate with and have an example. Nobody. 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 The business world got it on many fronts, but some of them are going to the dark side. They're letting other stuff in. But Jesus is still the master of business. He can still give, like Einstein, he can still give these creative thoughts. If you're open, if you know how to just relax and be open for these thoughts and work them out. Father, I thank you for your precious Son that has set the bar so high for us and how we can live on this earth. And every person, Lord, that you spoke to, from the tax collectors to the brothers to every one of your disciples, you were able to get through to them. And I think you're able to reach every single person in this room. You're able to reach your body. Now I ask, Lord, that you thrust forth those leaders and laborers in this hour that are going to help spearhead and lead the way to your glory this year. And I thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper. I thank you that you undergird your leaders with strength, that you help them to stay stalwart and faithful to you. Yes, Lord. I give you all of the glory. All of the glory. Now, those of you that are here, if there is something specific that you know you need help with, I want you to write it down on your paper. Just as you were listening to the message, there's something that you're going, wow, I'm just like, I don't know the way through this or what to do. Because it's first going to start
was seeking the Lord.